people, we at Guess Who's Coming to Radio are back with our annual celebration of teacher Michael Jackson. On Thursday, August 28th, from 8 p.m. to midnight, we will be exploring previously unreleased works, guest spots, words of wisdom from the teacher, as well as a conversation with Talib York of the tribute band Who's Bad. Stay tuned on August 28th from 8 to midnight, where we honor Michael Jackson on Guess Who's Coming to Radio on KBOO, your community radio.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. It is now 9 o'clock. Stay tuned for Press Watch. Coming up this morning on KBOO, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30, Linda Olson Osterlin hosts a final deeper look program on Guantanamo and Albert Woodfox of the Angola 3 with guests Robert King and Andy Worthington. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints, Haiti and the attempts to implicate former President Jean-Pétion Aristide in a corruption scandal and Nora Barrows Friedman and the electronic intifada on occupied Palestine. And at 11, it's a special hour-long version of the film show, which features news and interviews about independent film scene in Portland. Thank you so much, KBOO members, for your generous support for community radio. If you are not yet a member, you can do so by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know, giving you the tools to destroy billionaire rule. I want to start with an email from Portland Justice Works. They wrote that ISIS threatens to harm American interests, has now shown in an article from ABC News. It's been that idea has been used to ramp up the rhetoric about their group being apocalyptic, a threat to civilization itself. The most recent talk is about, and for me, it's hard not to just laugh when I hear this. I mean, we're supposed to buy this little CIA front. It's supposed to be a threat to civilization itself. So any action is justified, of course, is where they're going with that. And what actions do they want? They want war, but returning to what Peace and Justice Works wrote, the most recent talk is about how the U.S. is not concerned about borders when hunting down terrorists, meaning they are likely to try a Navy SEAL-type operation or worse in Syria without that government's permission. Can you say Zero Dark Thirty, the sequel, which is why it's interesting that Syria is actually inviting the U.S. to use airstrikes, but only if they are allowed to coordinate. The quotes about the Syrian government, the quotes in the media about the Syrian government harboring ISIS, is patently ridiculous, since ISIS is killing off of moderate rebels in Syria not because they support the Assad government, but because the others do not subscribe to their ISIS vision. However, it is uncannily familiar to the excuses that the U.S. has used to invade Afghanistan in 2001. It's also probably a ridiculous idea that ISIS would strike on American soil, since their goal seems to be to establish their own homeland along a swath of the Middle East. And once again, I would speak for myself and say it is logically probably a ridiculous idea, except that it opens up the idea in the public mind for a handy false flag operation possibly coming to an area near you. A false flag operation that, like the ones that turned three buildings magically into dust when two of them were struck by aircraft all those years ago. But they write, but note too that such threats didn't come from them until after the U.S. started bombing Iraq again. Another obvious outcome is that the U.S. planners should have seen them coming. The Stop the War Coalition. I'm having a little trouble with my script here. The Stop the War Coalition in London is working on stopping their government from bombing in Iraq and Syria. And PJW writes, I hope you are doing the same here. Here's a quote from the Stop the War in UK. Don't bomb Iraq. The world is more violent and volatile than any time in decades. War is spreading across the Middle East, and the crisis in Ukraine, deadly in itself, has generated the most dangerous standoff between Russia and the West since the collapse of the Soviet Union. I'll have more on that in a few minutes. There's headlines, and they're accusing Russia of invading Ukraine. Which I can't get all that excited about when you consider that when Russia invades Ukraine these days, they're fighting Nazis. And I always thought that was a good thing if you're going to fight somebody. Maybe you want to be fighting Nazis. Anyway, back to what the UK Stop the War Coalition is writing. What the media ignores is the chaos in Iraq and the growing war in Ukraine are a direct outcome of the previous wars and aggressive policies pursued by Western powers and NATO in the last decades. The U.S. and its allies are responding to the mayhem they themselves have created by escalating intervention, but bombing Iraq or spreading arms in the region will only add fuel to the flames. Calls for more decisive action in Iraq and Syria are growing in London and Washington and elsewhere. There's a real danger Britain could be at war in Iraq again within a matter of days. And UK Movement writes, the anti-war movement needs to step up its campaign. Please get active now to stop the spread of war. And that's why I'm reading that, because I'm asking you to heed this international appeal. Please get active now to stop the spread of war. And we here in the belly of the beast in the United States, which spreads more war than anybody else, well, it's our responsibility, isn't it? And there is an unprecedented worldwide mobilization, all kinds of war exercises taking place. Ships in the Black Fleet, but I'll get to that, as I say, a little bit later. Now, turning to the news article that Dan Handelman was referring to in the part that I read just earlier, it's from ABC News, and it's by Benjamin Bell, and it ran Sunday. It says, House Homeland Security Chair Representative Michael McCaul said he believes that ISIS, the jihadist army that has taken control of large parts of Iraq and brutally murdered American journalist James Foley, has external operations on way to hit the West. Quoting, their focus right now is establishing the caliphate, but don't kid yourself for a second, they are intent on hitting the West. And there are external operations, I believe, underway. That's the end of the quote. McCaul, Republican from Texas, was being interviewed by George Stephanopoulos on ABC's This Week. Now, departing from that, since it's left to our imaginations to figure out how this CIA-dependent group is going to hit the West, I thought maybe they were intending to inflate balloon tires on their new Toyota convoy trucks, you know, sort of turn them into ocean-going monster trucks and churn across the Atlantic to infiltrate a monster truck competition, and then they'll open fire. Returning to McCaul's comments, quote, we have tens of thousands of foreign fighters from all around the world pouring into this safe haven that's now been established, including hundreds of Americans with Western passports and legal travel documents, which enable them not only to travel to Western Europe, but to the United States, end quote. Here again, imagine a couple planes full of young sandy guys in beards and turbans shouting, jihad, jihad, and getting in trouble with a stewardess for not buckling up before landing. But returning to the ABC article, also on This Week, retired General John Allen, who has called ISIS a clear and present danger, said that destroying the group would require a comprehensive approach that would necessitate more resources. Now, look at that 17-year-old kid over there putting a banana in his Cheerios. He's a resource, Anyway, returning to the article, it's going to take more than what we're doing right now, George. There's no question of this, Alan said on This Week. We need to give the American public more clarity in terms of our commitment solely using the terms boots on the ground. I think we've been very clear that we don't want to put American maneuver forces, necessarily conventional maneuver forces, back on the ground. But we have really significant capabilities to provide special operators into these formations, both at the tribal level, some of the more recently emerging Sunni conventional forces that are appearing in northwest Iraq, the Free Syrian Army, and the Sunni tribes in Syria, end quote. Now, that's some confusing talk. Now, I think what he's trying to say is that since the whole operation was cooked up by the CIA, it can be steered from McLean, Virginia, with a cell phone call or two. I think John Stockwell with UNITA in Africa before the defeat by South African and Cuban forces at Cuito Guanavale, for example. Or maybe don't think that, since that part of American history, that defeat, has been successfully obscured all these years. So now I'm going to have a nice little interlude while I try to make my old computer bring up the script that I wanted to talk about. Ah, yes, here we are. Alan also told Stephanopoulos that the effort to eliminate ISIS might mean working towards the same goal as the regimes in Iran and Syria, even if the efforts were not coordinated. Quoting, I think that the actions that we take may in fact not be in coordination necessarily, but provide an opportunity for a coordinated effort, end quote. So I leave your head spinning a bit. I suppose it's a bit of a uncoordinated coordination, like me suddenly jumping on stage with a Bolshoi ballet. Hi, y'all. But continuing the quote, he said, but we don't share any values with the Iranian regime, and we don't share any values with the Syrian regime. The Assyrians, in fact, he said, are one of the principal reasons that ISIS had the opportunity to incubate to this point, to the level that is, to the threat that it has become. The Assad regime, in fact, has turned a blind eye to the development of ISIS and permitted ISIS ultimately to attack that element that we have been and ought to have been supporting in Syria, the Free Syrian Movement. And as I was quoting Dan a little earlier, what a lulu. I mean, the Syrian regime has been fighting ISIS and are in no way to be blamed for it, and the U.S. put it together, and where do you start? And, you know, when it comes to shared values with the Syrians, of course we share values. We share prisoners to be tortured by Assad. Did everyone forget that? We're just torturers together. We just get together and have a nice drink and remember those wonderful times when we, you know, got together and poked something sharp into a prisoner's eye. Good times, shared values. Time is 9:13. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. And the number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I'm talking about the need to mobilize against the wars that are the world war, really, that is bubbling up like something foul out of a volcano. And too bad it can't be blamed on natural forces, unfortunately. We can blame it on the greedy, greedy people who profit from the arms industry here in the U.S. and the people who profit from the, well, you know, the real estate shuffling and the oil and gas shuffling, and the people who just really think it's great fun to lord it over Americans and the rest of the planet by, you know, buying up those uniforms and wearing uniforms and shooting things. And I think it's time to shut down the Pentagon, to tell you the truth. Now, I'm an anarcho-socialist, and I don't believe in empire. So when I say it's time to shut down the Pentagon, I really mean it. It should be shut down. The hell with it. We don't need a damn Pentagon. We got so many handguns in this country. We don't have to fear invasions. When it comes to empire, when it comes to pushing people around, forcing them to, you know, offer their natural resources and labor at low prices, that was never morally okay. And it never benefited us. That money goes to the super rich who lord it over us. And we have everything to gain by destroying imperialist capitalism. And what do we have to lose? I'm going to turn to some of the specific news about the worldwide war mobilization. A few weeks ago, I told you that the Russians had been provoked to the point that they had their old slightly subsonic, very large Tupolev bombers off the coast, off this coast, you know, 100 miles from here, blasting by with their, you know, and these are old bombers and everyone scoffs, but attached to the bottom of the bombers were some very up-to-date, very high-tech, nuclear-capable cruise missiles. And at this point, the Obama administration, I guess mostly on its leash from the Pentagon, is provoking this sort of response. We are risking nuclear war in a way that we haven't since the Reagan administration. And when I say that, I'm aware that many people don't know just how close Reagan brought us to nuclear war. Maybe people don't remember that in the early 80s, there were whiskey-class subs in the Gulf of Mexico with nuclear weapons on board. There were standoffs in the Black Sea as U.S. soldiers were taught to intentionally provoke and infuriate Russian soldiers, and that was at the height of the Soviet war buildup. And there were some very, very near misses. And the reason that we're not subatomic particles is because people on both sides called off some false alarms at the last second. Well, it's very profitable to go right back to that edge. And if it turns out that, you know, a nuke or two or 50 go off in the United States, well, that's not a problem because the super rich have the best bunkers. And I am thinking of that, the bunker conversation at the end of Dr. Strangelove. If you've never seen Dr. Strangelove, this is a good time to watch it. Jason Deitz writes in antiwar.com, Syrian rebel factions, including Al-Qaeda's Jabhat al-Nusra, seize the nation's only border crossing into Israel and the Golan Heights. The takeover puts Al-Qaeda directly on the Israel frontier. And I want to depart from that already and say, how come you haven't heard about it? Well, Israel is in with the Saudis and the CIA in making this whole factionalized mess happen in Syria, and they're not particularly concerned about al-Nusra because they don't have all that much. I mean, they just don't have the artillery to really cause a problem, and that's controlled through the group that Israel's in on. So, you know, these screaming nuts are on the border, and you don't hear anything about it. Returning to the article, the clashes ahead of the takeover saw a stray mortar shell entering into Israel-occupied Golan, lightly wounding an Israeli soldier. Israel responded by attacking multiple Syrian army positions in the area. And Israel Army spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Peter Lerner downplayed the situation, insisting it's not a conflict that we are involved in. So, la la, they're on the border, no big deal. Except that it kind of is. Because it just shows just how crazy the situation is getting. And I believe Thomas is on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
I'm going to play devil's advocate for a minute.
All right. Speak, devil.
Hey, business is great, man, for the military-industrial complex. Wow, what a breath of fresh air. And, you know, it couldn't come at a better time either. I mean, if people started asking a few uncomfortable questions about why we're pulling out of, you know, we're being with our tails between our legs out of Iraq and Afghanistan, and God, you know, where's those corporate profits going to go? If those arms sales go down, think about it. It's great. I mean, we reinstalled a military dictatorship in Egypt, so we got our boys there, and that's really good because they can just take all sorts of U.S. taxpayer-subsidized weapons and use them for all sorts of atrocities. Hey, that's great. So much for the Egyptian spring, right? And then, think about it. ISIS is sort of a one-size-fits-all kind of a deal. It's great. You fund them, you train them, and you send them in, you wind them up, and you fund them to fight Syria, and then you spend a lot of money there. And then get this, when they come into Iraq, then you can bomb them, and you can sell even more weapons.
Yeah, the level of propaganda is really just astonishing. I remember back in 83 when the Reagan administration wanted to bomb the crap out of tiny Grenada, they had this press conference in which they showed the island of Grenada, and it looked just like the Cuban Missile Crisis diagrams that had also been televised, and there was a handy cloud over the, you know, it showed runways and such, and they said it was a Soviet military base, and there was a handy cloud over the international airplane terminal, which would have given it away as nothing of the sort.
Don't knock it. Now, that was a great, you underestimate the benefit of a pep rally. Pep rallies are great. It gets
people. Yeah, and we saved the world supply of nutmeg.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, but you know, you can always put the Russians were there, so the Cubans, and we know about them. And think about it too. This whole situation. I mean, this is really great. I mean, the Obama administration's only real domestic jobs program, which is bloated military spending. I mean, it's right back in there. I mean, then think about it. We've got the NATO expansion and an installation of a neo-fascist government in Ukraine. So then you got the Red Menace. And think about how much money.
Yeah, I really think that's where it's going. And the reason I bring this up is the level of propaganda has descended to the level of ridiculousness I saw at that time, and I've seen it other times since. I mean, for example, there is one of the photographs that's associated with articles. I'm not sure exactly where it started with articles about ISIS. Shows a bunch of nasty looking major tanks in sort of a formation, and there's a sort of tank house in the middle. Have you seen this picture? This is a this is a photograph of toys.
That's
not an aerial photograph.
Don't feel bad about that. I mean, these things happen. These are slip-ups. You know, that's the public won't remember, because you know the thing is, over the next couple of weeks, there'll be 12 more pundits on the networks talking the story. Don't worry about that, Teresa. Business is good, and it doesn't matter. I mean, in the perfect world, everyone would be states like Egypt and Israel, which just continually gulp down U.S. weapons. But if not, then we can just spread the chaos and justify armed expenditure by the fear of chaos. So business is good, Teresa.
I got to watch Dr. Strangelove, and I got to have a whiskey while I do it, I think. Well, thank you very much for your call.
You bet.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing I'm worried about, a false flag with this nonsense going on. I mean, help, the Arab supermen are coming. Oh, dear. Be very afraid. And I think at some level, analysts must realize that people are not talking about, you know, the terrible, terrible ISIS threat, because as much as they've tried to crank it up, well, it's, you know, people kind of intuitively know that it's nothing. So that means, you know, just given American history, going back to the sinking of the Maine and the handy fact that the, you're not going to like this, many of you, the handy fact that the Japanese code had been broken prior to Pearl Harbor, and all of the U.S. Aircraft carriers were moved without their escorts out of the harbor before the strike. Oh, that gets people good and mad. I'm sorry, it's the truth. It's just a solid fact which can be verified by anyone who's going to take the time to look it up. So I'm expecting a false flag, because U.S. warfare isn't about making anything good happen for you, and it's not about protecting you. And so I'm trying to cook up a little, well, I guess I'm trying to incite demonstrations at the least. You know, what I would really like to incite is maybe some people listening to me who are in the vast and varied and powerful U.S. secret police apparatus. Listen to me and hear that I'm very loyal. I'm very pro-American. I want a better life for all of us. And I don't want to stick up my nose at anybody. I know how people can get caught up into crazy things. And I want to say that you and the secret police have been caught up into crazy things, and more of you need to defect. More of you need to go Snowden. And now that you've seen some idea how it can be done, maybe it's a little less scary. And when you do so, I do hope that and believe that most of you who would do such a thing, who would go Manning, you do so out of the best intentions, and you do so for the American people loyally, and hold you in my heart as honorable. So how about getting on with that? Because what's the point of participating in something that you know is absolutely destructive and evil? More news on the military buildup. Number to call if you have comments or questions, 503-231-8187. A U.S. Navy destroyer and French frigate are expected to enter the waters of the Black Sea next week, diplomatic and military source said. Two NATO warships at once will arrive at the Black Sea on September 3rd. They are the Navy's destroyer USS Ross and the frigate Commandant Bureau of the Naval Forces of France. That's according to RIA Novosti, excuse me while I hiccup. There is currently one NATO ship present in the Black Sea, with French surveillance ship Dupuy de Lhomme expected to remain in the area until September 5th. The USS Vela Gulf, which was patrolling the Black Sea since August 7th, recently left for its port of commission and may reverse course That's just me saying. The maintenance of the operational rotational presence of NATO ships, RIA Novosti wants you to know, does not promote stability in the Black Sea region in any way. And really, if you look at the map, look at the Mediterranean, look at the Black Sea, look at that strait that you have to go through. Which strait is that? Oh my God, I'm about to get ignorant here. Is it the Strait of Bosphorus? I don't have my straits straight. I'm sorry. I'll look them up next time. You know, that's just so obviously the pool in Russia's backyard, and we're floating. The U.S. Ships are floating around there, waving the flag at the minimum, and probably waving their weapons around too, and maybe shooting them off now and then, just because. And this is context. This is in the context of so much U.S. military confrontation and all the BS going on about the terrible situation with the Russians invading Ukraine. Up to 30 of them, they say. And again, in that context, the Russians are fighting Nazis. Go Russians! They got no problem with that, for God's sake. It's not an exaggeration to say that Svoboda and Right Sector are Nazis. They've been enthusiastically painting, tattooing swastikas onto their arms for the last 20 years. They've been known. But now, there are the armed forces of Kyiv. Our buddies in Ukraine. Not my buddy. My ancestors died fighting those bastards, and I intend to honor my ancestors, at least in spirit. Well, Jason Deitz writes in antiwar.com, it wasn't so long ago the Ukrainian military was treating the Eastern War as a done deal, mopping up with an eye on the last two rebel cities. A counterattack is changing that, and the war is again expanding into the southeast. The fighting along the southeastern coast saw rebels taking control of the strategically important port town of Novoazovsk. In addition to giving the secessionist rebels a port, and I believe that's on the Black Sea, it's on a key highway linking neighboring Russia. News of the port's loss, along with leaked videos of fighting, have fueled new protests among Western Ukrainian nationalists who are clamoring for the military to escalate the war to crush the mostly ethnic Russian Easterners. The East-West divide has long defined Ukrainian politics, and the push for Eastern secession, as well as calls by Westerners to wipe out Eastern resistance, has turned that long-standing dispute into a full-fledged war. Interim Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk claimed that practical help is coming from NATO. Exactly what that means is unclear, although there's been talk of sending weapons to the Ukrainian military to aid in the crackdown. Maybe they're hoping for a sort of Vietnam War scenario there, where they come up to the edge, where the Pentagon comes up to the edge of nuclear war and never quite crosses. That was very profitable. I mean, those are big times at Honeywell. Yeah, you could put together those bouncing Bettys. That was big time, big money. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Dan, coming up on KBOO at 9:30, Linda Olson, Australia, hosts a final Deeper Look program on Guantanamo and Albert Woodfox of the Angola 3 with guests Robert King and Andy Worthington. At 10 o'clock, it's Chris Andre with Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary. Then at 10:15 on Flashpoints, Haiti and the attempts to implicate former Jean-Bertrand Aristide in a corruption scandal, and Nora Barrows-Friedman and the Electronic Intifada on Occupied Palestine. That should be interesting. I mean, what did they do, shove some money in his pocket while the CIA was running him off into an airplane? You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland, and look at that, I've pretty much run out of time. So, engineer, we'll bring up the music, and we'll bring in Linda Olson Osterlund. KBOO is supported by anyone who cares. That means you. And we will be coming up on a membership drive in October, and I hope to get many of you thinking about that and thinking about becoming a true Cascadian by supporting KBOO Portland. I am putting together some Press Watch themed mugs and t-shirts with a local artist right now, and so I'm hoping to bring in some dollars that would make me feel proud on the upcoming fundraiser. But right now you could join KBOO by clicking on kboo.fm and just following the links over on that little tip jar that you see on the right. Won't you please? I mean, even if you're listening in Hobart, Tasmania, you could send us, you know, five units of currency, or maybe get yourself a t-shirt, whatever you like. So stay tuned. Here comes Linda Olson Osterlund on KBOO Portland, going out to you via our terrestrial transmitters and via the World Wide Web to all the ships at sea.
Film Show features news and interviews about the local and independent film scene. That's The Film Show, the fourth Thursday of the month at 11:30 a.m., only on KBOO Portland.
Thank you for tuning in to A Deeper Look. I'm your host, Linda Olsen-Osterlund, and this is the final episode of A Deeper Look. I want to thank all of you listeners who have supported this show with your ears and with your dollars. It's a privilege and an honor to have done a show on KBOO, and I'm grateful for all the opportunities this show has given me, the different people that I've gotten to interview and meet around this, and the topics I've gotten to learn about, and the training that I've gotten from KBOO and the support from the staff has all been something I really appreciate. But for a while now, I felt that the show had sort of run its course, at least inside of me, and that it was time for me to do something different.